G'day everyone, welcome to The Fen, proudly brought to you by George's Fine Meats Cherrybrook and Five Star Real Estate. Horsey with you alongside rugby league legend Gary Jack. Jimmy, how are you?
Yes, very well, Horsey. I'm a little bit shell-shocked after the weekend, even to say the least, but we'll get into that later on. But yes, going well, mate.
Yeah, you are referring to the Tigers. We will get to that. We'll talk about the Bulldogs as well, who had a similar defeat. I just came back from New Zealand, Jimmy. I'm not sure if I mentioned I was going over there for a few days and caught the Rabbitohs Warriors game because my son's a Rabbitohs fan. That was great at Mount Smart Stadium and checked out Rotorua International Stadium. I don't think you played in that tour, did you, 1989?
No. That was my last one was 88, so no, I missed that one. It looked like a pretty good ground, better than Carlow Park, which I played at several times.
Yeah, I should have checked out Carlow Park. I'm not sure if that still exists. I couldn't see
it. Gone. It's gone now. It's a shopping centre, I think. Yeah.
What a shame. Some great memories there. Some beautiful country, New Zealand, isn't it? There are a few different things. Not skim cappuccinos over there, Jimmy. They're trim. Trim cappuccinos.
Trim? What's a trim?
Well, it's trim as opposed to skim. So it's light milk, but they call it trim, not skim. And what's Woolworths called over there, do you think? This is what my son couldn't get his head around.
Woolies?
No.
How's that?
No. Countdown.
Countdown?
Countdown. That's crazy.
It's a television show back in the 70s and 80s. You tell him that?
Was that with Molly?
Yeah, Molly Meldrum.
Yeah. It's got the Woolworths logo with Countdown next to it. Incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Countdown.
And the other thing I noticed, Jimmy, on my adventures around the North Island, no roadkill. You know, if you drive 100 metres anywhere here, there's dead kangaroos, possums, wombats, nothing. So not that I'm disappointed. I just really appreciated the change.
There's 33 million sheep in the country. Look, no dead sheep on the side of the road.
No, they all just stay in their paddocks and eat the grass. Plenty of grass. Very lush.
Yeah, very lush, yeah. It's like South Sea England. South Sea Pommies, yeah.
Very English. They love wearing their gumboots around. But, look, I'm getting way off track here. We need to talk some footy because Freddie Fittler, he has named his team for State of Origin 3, which the Blues need to win to avoid the clean sweep. A lot of changes, Jimmy, not the least being Bradman Best into the centres. We didn't see that one coming. What do you make of the team?
Oh, look, you're right. I didn't see the Bradman Best one coming. I don't think anyone did. You know, he's always had plenty of potential, and this is his, obviously a very good game on the weekend when the Knights beat Canterbury. So he's gone straight into the side, probably on the back of that. I think he's always had the potential. It's just a matter of question of he's got his opportunity now. So hopefully, you know, Bradman Best can make the best of his opportunity. Freddie Fittler has also picked Cody Walker at number six, and Nicho Hynes has been left out altogether. A very strange decision. Just by picking Walker, he's a very instinctive player, and that just makes me think that Freddie's not going to go in with any structure. It's just going to be all ad lib, play what you see, which is sort of what they tried to do the first two games, and you know, well, we score 6 points and 10 points, which didn't really work. So it's a funny decision, I think, Cody Walker, at six, because that's just how he plays. He's very unstructured. The games are won up front, so it's really going to be up to the forwards.
Jimmy, just with Cody Walker, the thing I probably find funny about that one would be the fact that he's 33, and this is a dead rubber game. I know every origin means something, but they can't win the series. That's a fact, the Blues. It might have been a chance to get someone in of equal talent, i.e. Nicho Hynes, to give him a taste, get him used to State of Origin football. Some might see it as a wasted opportunity. That's not anything against Cody Walker, who's been playing great, but it might have been an opportunity missed there.
But
he has been setting up a lot of tries for the Souths, and that's what the Blues need, Jimmy. They haven't scored enough tries.
No, correct. That's correct. So if Freddie's going in without any structure, he didn't have much structure. I said the first two games, play what you see. He is the best in the game as far as try assists is Cody Walker. No one sets up tries better than him. He's very instinctive, just like Cliffy Lyons back in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, all just run to the gaps, a bit like Brett Kenny, run to the caps and he'll just put you through. So he's pivotal for our success. Like we have to win. We have to win. You know, otherwise it's been 13 years and Queensland get another clean sweep on us. Yeah, Callum Atungi, I think, is a good good young player to come into the forwards there. I don't know what they're going to do. in their well, I think they've got go Cook. Cook is obviously going to start this time. They've got Reece Robson off the bench this time.
Yeah, look, I can't complain, because in our last episode of The Fend, I called for mass changes, and I called for most of these. It was like Freddie listened to our podcast, actually, because I said Regan Kemble-Gillard should come back in. I was happy for Jerome Luai to be given a break. Also, Tyson Frizzell, thanks for your time, but we need to get some fresh faces in there. So I was happy to see a new look New South Wales side, because Queensland have our number. They know how to beat that team. And at least with a bunch of new faces, it could be a bit of a mystery for the Maroons as to how the Blues are going to tackle this game. And it might just throw them a little bit. Although, you know, I've got to say, yeah, Best surprised me. Katani Staggs, he's been consistent all season. I've seen Best play some games this year where I just, yeah, I certainly wasn't thinking State of Origin, whereas Katoni Staggs has been very strong. But then you feel a little bit for guys like Stefano Utugamanu, who I don't think should have been in there in the first place, but he only got, what was it, 11 minutes or something, and then he's been dispensed with. And the same thing happened with Hines in game one. I just think there's a few examples over the last few years of guys being brought in. Staggs himself was one, either being injured or not getting much of a run and not getting another crack.
Yeah, that's right. He's done that with three or four guys in his tenure there as New South Wales coach. And, you know, he's we've lost our last three out of four series. So, you know, it really is a must-win game. And Freddie's got that swagger about him, you know. Well, I don't think he's swaggering as much this year, but he certainly used to have the swagger about him, you know, pretty sort of bulletproof. But I think he may have been – he wouldn't admit it, but I think Billy Slater certainly out-coached him in the first two games.
Yeah, and they stuck with James Tedesco, the skipper. We thought they would. I sort of suggested maybe they have a look at getting Dylan Edwards in there, but they've given him another game. Fair enough. Clint Gutherson's the other one who I said should come in to the side, and Freddie thought the same thing. He has been one of the form players in the competition, and he covers every position basically in the back line.
I would not have picked him.
No?
I would have put Nicho Hynes ahead of him. Nicho Hynes is Gutho, playing well, but primarily he's a fullback. You know, if you're going to have someone coming off the bench, you've got to have someone who can fill in as a playmaker, as a half, as a 5'8". You know, you get that extra dimensions to your game, and I see Gutho as a fullback, as a centre. You know, he can fill in, but he's not really a playmaker, not really a half or a 5'8". So that was a strange decision. I know you're a Parramatta fan.
No, you love Gutho. He has played plenty of six at Parramatta, so he's not a regular 5'8". He's played 5'8".
Well, 5 or 6 years ago. Come on. He hasn't been there for a while. Oh, Gutho, I know you love him. I know it's hard for you, but I think that was a very strange decision, Gutho.
Well, but he's a State of Origin type player. He's there every play. He gives 120%. That's all we need.
Yes, he is, but I think there are better players that could have been used ahead of him.
Very interesting there, Jimmy. All right, can we win it? Can you see the Blues avoiding a whitewash? Because I just think, although there's noises that, let's keep Freddie, but if they get clean swept for the first time since 2010, I just don't see how off the back of back-to-back defeats plus a clean sweep you can keep the coach.
Yeah, you asked me the question, can they win it? I think it's going to be very difficult. Mm. I really do. I think Queensland might be getting better. And we've made lots of changes. You know, you've got new guys coming in that haven't played together. As we said, there's six or seven changes to the side. So I think it's going to be very difficult for us, even though it is down here. I think Queensland hit their straps. They're certainly getting better after game two. So I think it's going to be very difficult for Freddie to get a win. Look, of course, for a chance. State of Origins are all about just getting that ball under your arm and just ripping it up. And even when you're down and out, you just keep ripping it up again and, you know, never giving up. That's what State of Origins are all about. And if we can have that sort of mindset and mentality, throw the skill out the window and just take them on. Like, it doesn't matter. Rip and tear into them is the best way to meet fire with fire. You know, we can't take a backward step. And if we can have some leaders, someone's got to stand up and someone's got to follow, and we can play that style of footy for 40 minutes, have a rest, and then we can rip and tear again for the second half. Yeah, we're good. But I think that's the sort of – if we're going to win, we're going to have to play a very aggressive style of footy for us to be successful, not going sideline to sideline. I think that's out the window.
And hats off to Blues supporters. They have not given up on their team because they've sold over 70,000 tickets for game three, which of course is a dead rubber, as we've already mentioned. Let's have a look at our five-star five for this week. I'm going to give Jimmy, if you don't mind, three of them to Selwyn Cobbo. What a performance for the Broncos against the Dolphins. He was the difference in that game, 24-16 to Brisbane. The Dolphins dominated the second half, up 16-14 with just over 10 to go, and then Cobbo from a standing start, nothing doing. Just chipped and chased, regathered, scored, and then he put another one over the line in the last couple of minutes just to seal it. What a performance.
Yeah, he's a great young kid. He's got plenty of talent. He's like GI, certainly Greg Inglis, the way that he plays the game. But they were freakish tries that you can only do that sort of stuff with great talent. It's hard to stop talent, and for a great win for the Broncos.
Yes, certainly was. I was at Auckland, as I mentioned, for the Warriors-Rabbitohs game. I've got to take a hats off to the Rabbitohs. They went over there as underdogs. The Warriors have been so impressive, sell-out crowd, even though the weather was just crap. And they conceded the first try. They were under the pump with a stack of penalties against them, but they just rallied. And this is a side with a lot of injuries. No Latrell, no Jai Arrow. Who else was it? No Campbell Graham. Isaiah Tass, he was out because of his missus was giving birth. So they were down on troops, and they just went on to dominate that game. It was probably their best performance of the year.
Absolutely, it was their best performance of the year. Yeah, it was a great effort by the Bunnies over there. Like, you know, and the Warriors have been fantastic. You know, Sean Johnson, his form at home and away has been great this year. So that's a great win against the. Yeah, they're really like a top four side, I would say, the Warriors this year.
Yeah, and well done to Tyrone Munro, the debutant, 18 years old. I think he scored on debut to seal the match for the Bunnies. And Cameron Murray was just exceptional up the middle. And Cody Walker, that's what sealed his place in the New South Wales side. He just pulled the strings. And great atmosphere there, Jimmy. It was pouring rain. It was cold. Yeah. It was miserable.
Yeah.
The poor old guy with the microphone out in the field, the spruiker, he was just getting drenched. It was a sight to behold. But I was dry up in the grandstand, you'd be happy to hear.
Do you think that one day you could be the spruiker out at Parramatta Stadium and get the crowd revved up? You think you could fall into that job as well?
Depends how much they're going to pay me, mate.
I can see you out there.
I did it for the Thunder once. Well, so I did a job for the Sydney Thunder like that.
Yeah, did you?
Out on the field,
Get them all worked up. Sweet Caroline.
Well, yeah. I'll draw the line at that one, mate. I don't think anyone should be subjected to that. Now, last one on the five-star five. What about the Dragons? Gee, they were bad. They weren't the worst on the weekend. We'll get to them in a sec, but they were bad. 52-16 against the Sharks. Local derby. It shouldn't be like this. They lost the first one against the Sharks 40-8. So it's a miserable couple of derbies for the Dragons. They've lost their last seven, I think, against Cronulla. So that needs some fixing. But the standout for me was they just looked flat. They're being led by a player, Ben Hunt, who doesn't want to be there. And we spoke about this on our last episode. There has to be a decision made, at least with the captaincy. How can you follow a guy who doesn't want to be wearing the jersey? I mean, it's just going to be a calamitous end of the season unless they rectify this.
Yeah, you could really see it on the weekend. Like Ben Hunt, he didn't want to be there. And that was probably his worst game of the year. Yeah, he leads by example every week. He's the heart and soul of the Dragons. So yeah, you can see it affecting him and everyone else in the team. So management need to step in and take the captaincy off him, give it to someone else. And if he wants to go, you know, just let him go. Let him go, or sit him out. Yeah, that's right. Sit him out. Which I don't think they will do. I think they'll even, or maybe some people said to me, play in reserve grade. You want to play in reserve grade? Yeah. I think that's
where it's got to. I think it's you take the captaincy off him, all right? You're not the future of this club. You don't want to be here. You've made that clear, but you are under contract. So we're going to take the captaincy off you, but you can keep playing and we'll judge you as a first-grade player. If your form dips, then you're off to reserve grade like anyone else. But we're not going to let you go and join the Titans or the Broncos and boost them for the rest of the season.
Yep, I agree. It was probably one of St. George's or the Dragons, one of their worst performances on the weekend, and it's just unacceptable.
But you know,
they are equal second last on the competition with their points for and against.
But you know, Jimmy, as a former player, you look to your captain for inspiration. You know, Junior Pierce back in the day, he'd lead the charge.
Yeah, of course, and they've got such a a young group coming through. They need that leadership of Ben Hunt. So, and they need to sort it out, and he needs to sort it out for himself, because if they don't sort it out, they'll get worse. Over the next 6 or 7 weeks, they'll get worse.
Well, they've got a new leader in. This will be interesting this weekend, actually. Blake Laurie, the new age blocker. Blake Laurie, the front rower. He's captain for the first time against the Raiders on Friday night, I think that game is.
And I think he goes good.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, mate, because he's a local junior. He bleeds red and white, and you just know he loves the joint. So if he makes a fist of it, if they knock over the Raiders, I'd be keeping him as captain.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he does. He lives in breathes football. He's from there. He's a local junior, young blocker. It's obviously young blocker Roach. He's got his nickname from there because he's a big young lad, and he plays with his heart on his sleeves, just like Stephen did when Stephen played. So I think he's a real good choice as captain.
I think I miscounted my 5-star 5. One more. Penrith, how good? How do you go down to Melbourne without Nathan Cleary, fall behind 14-0? In front of 26,000 fans at Marvel Stadium, and then come back and flog the Storm. I mean, a heavyweight. I mean, they won. You take out that start, they beat Melbourne 34-2 at home without Cleary. Incredible. And, what a team.
And down 14-0 when they did it. Yeah. An amazing turnaround by the Panthers down there. Wow. Like, I didn't see that one coming. I thought it was just going to be, he's going to be a good win for the Storm, and they just turned it completely around as what's a fantastic effort without Cleary.
And it just means that he doesn't have to rush back. Jack Cogger, he's doing a great job filling in at number 7, and Cleary can take his time. So they're sailing towards 3 in a row, Jimmy. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Georgia's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook Code, Word of the Week. Get down there, get yourself some great tucker from Wayne and the boys. What do you got?
Code word for the week. You always get me when I'm...
Give me a Kiwi one. I've just come back from New Zealand. Give me a Kiwi one. Anything.
Fongare.
We're not going Fongare. What about...
White Pikamukia.
What about Carlo?
About Carlo?
You used to
play... Carlo what?
That's the code word.
Okay, Carlo. Carlo. What about Carlo Park or just Carlo?
Carlaw. Oh, just Carlaw.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we hear some stories about Carlaw Park? The grass was about 6 inches thick in the mud. And when you went out there was like 20,000. It's like Lang Park, just 20,000 screaming Kiwis. And it's an old timber stadium where you go to get dressed and they bang their feet and all the soot sort of falls down on your nice Australian blazer. And they do the haka. And, oh, Jesus, when they do the haka, it's it's a pretty scary place. It's a pretty scary place, Carlaw Park. So great memories playing there.
How did you used to handle the haka back then?
Wally Lewis used to say he'd turn the side around so we'd have their backs to them.
What?
So we wouldn't face them. We had our backs to them.
Wow.
And we all looked at Wally, and Wally looked and just spoke to us or just said whatever he had to say. He said, turn around, everyone just look at me. So the pressure was off the players. I know it's a very intimidating fact, the haka, when they do it, you know, and now they come right up to the halfway line and, you know, they're going to spear to death and that sort of stuff. So that's how we got around. And let's say that we beat them twice there in 86. We beat them there in 85. We beat them once there. They beat us in the third game in 85, and we beat the World Cup. Well, the World Cup there was at Eden Park in 88. That was the worst thing they did, was take it away from Carlaw Parks. But great memories of that oval and the crowd, and they just love their side. They really did love their team. And that set up the Warriors coming into the competition. I'm pretty sure I did get concussed a couple of times here at Carlaw Park. What's his name? Rapardi. Big Rapardi, big Olsen, Filipana, Mark Graham, the Sorensons. Oh, gee whiz, what a pack they had. What an incredible pack.
Warm and fuzzy players, those guys. What about, could you imagine turning your back on the haka these days? It'd be an international incident.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, that's right. So, but in those days, it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. And, you know, full credit to Wally, it worked.
Speaking of international incidents, what did you think of the Ashes? Johnny Besto being... Well, controversially stumped.
Don't those pommies carry on? It's all right for them, you know. It's all right for them the day before when we catch the ball and it hits the ground and we thought it was out, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we go by the umpire's decision, but it's okay for them to blow up like a tree. But that's just typical Pommies. You know, what they do. That's what they do.
It's a smother. It's a deflection because no one's talking about the fact they're 2-0 down.
2-0 down. That's exactly right. You know, and there's plenty of smothers out there. What about Gus? Gus was a good smother too. What about Gus's smother yesterday? That was one of the best smothers of all time.
Right, so you talk about the Bulldogs 66-0 against the Knights. You couldn't believe that scoreline because the Knights have been okay this year. They haven't been great, and the Bulldogs playing at home. You just didn't see that coming. It was a shocking performance, insipid, lack of heart, lack of fight. You name it. Mm-hmm. And then so you're talking about Phil Gould. The boss of the Bulldogs coming out yesterday, taking over the media commitments from the players and coach to say essentially that this is going to take some time. And to me, it's a bit of a broken record because we've heard this a fair bit out of the Bulldogs. I'm not a Bulldogs fan, but I sympathise with their fans because this is the same sort of line that's been trotted out since Dez left. When was that? 2017, 18?
7 years ago, 8 years ago, yeah.
You know, I got to stick with us. I must be right off the pace, Jimmy, because I actually had Canterbury sneaking into the eight this year. I thought they had Reid Marnie coming, Ryan Sutton and Viliami Kikau, in addition to last year's recruits, Burton, Addo Carr, those sort of characters. So I just thought, they've got a decent team here. But Gus was saying yesterday that we always knew this was going to be a difficult year.
I told Serraldo, don't come next year, come the year after. Like, it's going to be really tough. I'm going, what the hell are you on about? You know, they have got a pretty good squad.
They have got some injuries.
Yeah, but everyone has injuries. Yeah, we all have injuries, you know. But against Newcastle's coming, either 15th in the competition, I did not see that one coming at all. You know, 66-0. Wow.
Well, they made them look like Brett Kenny and Wally Lewis, Dally Messenger, Reg Gasnier. Just some of the Knights were just streaking away. There was just no defence. Jackson Hastings had a field day. Ponga.
Yeah. Yeah. God, help us. I'm with you. And I actually thought that they may have been a top eight side, Canterbury. And obviously, Serraldo's finding it hard as a first grade coach. And he had no answers there. He had no answers. He needs to sort. See, they've bought a player there from the Gold Coast as a halfback.
I saw a report saying it was an explosive signing or a signing raid on the Gold Coast. Toby Sexton's been playing reserve grade. He can't get a crack. So it's hardly a marquee signing, but he goes straight into the halves for this week's game against the Rabbitohs. And you might think, oh, this is good for the Dogs. They play the Rabbitohs who are missing six stars, a lot of them to State of Origin commitments, but it's also putting a lot of pressure on them because if they don't win, it's almost as embarrassing as a 66-0 loss because Souths are, half the team's missing. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what changes they make to the side for this weekend.
Let's go on to your Tigers, mate. And last time, I haven't seen a turnaround like this ever. In fact, I haven't seen one because there hasn't been one. Tigers v Cowboys in the space of 6 weeks. We were here on this very podcast celebrating the Tigers 66-18 flogging of the Cowboys at Leichhardt. What a night that was for the West Tigers. It was just, it was party time. You're going up the ladder. Things were on the up. Here we go. And then 6 weeks later, 74-0. 74-0. Can you believe it? A record loss, record win. Either way, incredible stuff.
NRL record win, record win to nil, all that sort of stuff.
Third biggest win of all time. I mean, it's going back to 1908.
Yeah.
In the space of 6 weeks, where is it all unraveled? Well,
the only player that probably wasn't there was Appy Korosau. He was there when they won, the 66.
Yeah.
And Brooks, I suppose. But it's talk about the weekend's game. After the first 15 minutes, it was nil-nil. You know, so they've scored 74 points in 65 minutes. Yeah. Better than a point a minute. A very embarrassing situation for the Tigers. Big blocker came out and said it was embarrassing and unacceptable, which it's not. So the Tigers were pathetic on the weekend, not acceptable under any standards. That performance by players. So, the club needs to sort it out. Sheens needs to sort it out. They've lost their halfback now. He's young Brooks is off to Manly next year, which will be a big loss for them. You know, halfbacks are very difficult to find.
Yeah,
they're like hen's teeth trying to find a good halfback. But our defence was like tally ho paper, and they just. Do you know what tally-ho paper is? A lot of people probably don't know what that is.
You roll your own.
Yeah, that's right. So you roll your own. So, you know, it was embarrassing as a Tigers fan. You know, really, it really comes back to want. About want. What do the players want? Do they just want to go out there and go through the motions, or do they really want to make a difference? Do they really want to win? You know, if they want to go through the motions, they're playing for the wrong reasons. You know, two great clubs, one great club. Yeah, the West Tigers has got so much to stand for. They won the comp in 05 and so much history. It's just unacceptable to go out there. And it was 42-0 at halftime. Like, can you believe 42-0 at halftime? You know,
did they, just, Jimmy, do you think they waved the white flag?
No, I think they did try, but I don't think they tried as hard, as good as what they could. I don't think they could honestly walk off the field and say, I gave 100%. I don't care what everyone else does. I'm the fullback. I gave 100%. Or I'm the halfback. I gave 100%. I'm in the front row. I gave 100%. No, I don't think they could say that. So that's the problem. That's what Tim Sheens and Benji Marshall have got to do. They've got to somehow turn it around in a week. Their defense on their trial line was terrible. The defense everywhere was deplorable. And that's, as we said before, defense is what's going to win your games, not going sideline to sideline. So, you know, Sheens has got plenty of problems there to sort out. Otherwise, he could go back-to-back, you know, back-to-back wooden spoons, which wouldn't be very nice to do. You know, Michael Maguire got tapped on the shoulder last year when he had four wins from 12 games. So he had about a 33% strike rate. Sheens has got now three from 15. That's a 20%. So His stats have actually gone backwards compared to last year. That's the really disappointing thing.
I think also, and I said this before the game even kicked off, I was really surprised to hear Tim Sheen say on numerous occasions leading up to the game, oh, you know, the Cowboys are going better than us now. You know, I know we beat them by 50, but they're going better than us. And he just repeated it so many times. I thought, how does that help his young players hearing that? I mean, they must hear that and go, oh, shit, we're going to get smashed here.
Yeah,
and it was a real feeling that they were lambs to the slaughter, and I just found that approach from a really experienced coach surprising.
Mm-hmm. Like, you always knew that there was going to be a sense of payback. You knew that when you get done by 66-18, so you had to expect it when you go up there. Yeah, they were going to play well, and I think, as I said, for the first 15 minutes, it was 0-0. You wouldn't have seen that scoreline coming, and then once the floodgates opened, well, you know, it was just. It was very disappointing as a Tigers fan and just totally unacceptable. They need to turn it around and, you know, and Sheens needs to take a lot of responsibility for it.
Yeah, and look, winger David Norfolumer, I don't want to single out players, but he missed some terrible tackles out wide, and they've said he's on the side this week because of a shoulder injury, so that would explain why he didn't make a few tackles there, because you expect those senior players to stand up, and I just thought they were just diabolical. It's just you were hoping that was the Tigers of last year. There was some smacking last year. We thought we'd seen the end of that.
Yeah,
but that's what really alarms me, Jimmy, and has probably led to comments that maybe Benji Marshall should take over. Is the fact that they've gone backwards? They were heading in the right direction after that win against the Cows at Leichhardt, but since then they've gone backwards. Since then, that's the worry.
Mm. Anyway. And that's the thing. Like, if they do tap Sheens on the shoulder, you know, Benji's going to need someone there with him. He's only a rookie coach. You just can't throw him in. So whether it be someone else come in to walk him through the next 12 months, I don't know. But, you know, it's unacceptable to have – if we don't win a game, we're going to get the wooden spoon again. And then to look towards next year, because Sheen says he's got a contract for next year, you know. Maybe Benji's listening to the wrong people, you know, because he needs to concentrate on defence. They need to get that steely resolve back into their side. But I don't know who they're going to bring in. He may just go with the same blokes from last week. He has to make some changes. I just don't think they've got the depth to make changes. So a very troubling time for the Tigers.
Yes, it certainly is. The Tigers, they have the Sharks this weekend.
Yeah, on Thursday night.
Yeah, so the Sharks are saying we're not going to take them lightly, but, yeah, I mean, the complacency could be a bit of a problem there, but we'll see what the Tigers can dish up. Fenn, at the end time, Jimmy, and some news has just broken the Savo that the RLPA has called an NRL player boycott on all pre-game, post-game and halftime interviews during NRL matches because the collective bargaining agreement still hasn't been signed off. Can you believe it? So that's my fend at the end. Can we get this bloody sorted? It's been dragging on how long now? 12, 18 months. Here we are, round 18, 19, and we still haven't got it signed off on. And now we're going to have these ridiculous situations where you know, dressing room access will be cut off to Fox League and Channel 9. The multi-million dollar broadcast partners. That's this report I'm reading from James Super. So just extraordinary. This is still dragging on. And the fans are the ones that are going to miss out again, of course.
That's right, yeah. That's right again, yeah. Well, they need to sort that out. It's a bone of contention which should have been fixed up. We thought was fixed up, but obviously not. Someone's dragging their feet.
Yeah, Jimmy, you need to get in there and sort them out. But thanks for your contribution today. Great effort as always.
Thanks, Horst. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And don't forget, on the weekend, it was the Mark Hughes Foundation Day. Yes. So Mark Hughes does a great job for brain cancer. They raised, I hope they raised, millions and millions of dollars on the weekend. Saw plenty of beanies out there. Good on you, Mark. You do a fantastic job. And we hope that wish you all the best for the future.
Yeah, well said. Beanies for Brain Cancer Round was an overwhelming success. Jimmy, great work. Thanks, everyone, for listening to The Fen. And thank you also to sponsors George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook, and Five Star Real Estate Hornsby. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks, buddy. See you then.
See ya.